Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
What is up? Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your host, Josh Rinko, doing a little early work day afternoon recording. Got my boy Drew Gregory on. What's up, Drew?
What's up, man? Good to be here, as always.
Yeah. This is the earliest podcast I've ever done. I usually doing this wee hours of the morning, you know, 1-2 in the morning, barely staying awake.
Oh, that's why they go off the rails. That's how you guys get off the rails so easily, because it's like 1-2 a.m.
But yeah, I know, for sure.
I love it, man. I actually like the daytime pods because I'm alive, awake, really good. This is, you know, work for me anyway, so it's good to kind of get this stuff done, you know, it during the day, yep. And then I can do with the family stuff at night. But yeah,
it was going to be a tough sell for me to do a pod tonight because I went fishing yesterday. So
Yeah, I get it, for sure. We both got the young kids.
Yeah, so we'll get into a lot of this here, but the one of the main reasons we brought you on is to talk about an event, your first ever kayak adventure series event, Sholey Palooza, coming up. What's the dates on that, Drew?
May 3rd and 4th, technically the actual fishing dates, but obviously you'll be practicing, those who are coming, during that whole week from pretty much the end of April, beginning May, which is like literally the prime time to be in Georgia catching shoal bass. So it's not a smallie, but man, it's the closest thing to a smallie out there. And all the rest of our kayak adventure series events, which I know we have a graphical show in a minute, but all the rest of them, when we go through them, you'll see they're definitely, it's a smallie, you know, smallie charged series for sure. Cause I love smallmouth. So I wanted to make sure people could go to places where they can have a lot of fun and catch a lot of fish. So,
oh yeah, a lot of smallmouth that are going to be caught in these tournaments for sure. So we'll get into the nitty gritty with the kayak adventure series, because we definitely want guys to kind of know how to sign up, you know, where the events are going to be at. Definitely a different type of, you know, kind of a mix between river bassin and like your traditional kayak tournaments. It's a really cool concept. I think it's going back to the roots of what kayak fishing sort of started out as, which I'm a big fan of. But until we get into that, I wanted to talk about your big win. We haven't had you on, and I know you've done all the podcasts and that sort of thing, but so for those who don't know, Drew went out and crushed everyone at Lake Ten Killer. got himself a blue trophy. How many blue trophies is that for you?
I don't know, man. This counts for like almost multiple because it's the championship. I never won a championship, but I've got I got at least 3 Bassmasters there, plus an AOI with Bassmaster right.
Yeah,
I can't point with this thing right there. I think I pulled the wrong hand away right there. If you guys are watching this. I look like a fool, but that's the AOI for Bassmaster. So if you're counting the AOI, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess. So
yeah,
5 for Bassmaster.
Hey, so that's freaking awesome, dude. We're rooting for you during that. It didn't end up going, which kind of was like, for me, it was like, I ended up going to Susquehanna to do some jet boat fishing. And it kind of sucked, to be honest. And the whole time I was there, I was like, man, this would have been pretty fun to go do that, because from what I saw, people were catching them up shallow. Like, it was a pretty fun tournament.
Yeah, that's good smallmouth out there for sure. No doubt about it. I don't know if you've heard much about the story or how I won. We can get into it.
I purposely did not listen to any of those, because I wanted to hear.
I got videos I can share, dude. I can pull up the videos right here and share them with you if you want. But the reason, what's funny is the reason I said, if you listen to anything, there's been multiple podcasts that I've credited you not being there for a part of helping me win this. Like, seriously, I've been like, cause they were like, they've asked me questions like, how far in advance, like, was this your plan? Cause I was talking about how I've strategized this for a long time, I have 7 torpedo batteries with me, borrowing them from friends, not 7 on the boat, but 7 with me, just cause I knew I needed to carry.
I got 7 torpedoes. 4 or 5.
Yeah. Not 7, but I had 7 with me at the house, and I used you know, four or five, whatever it was, on a boat at one time to have enough to keep it go as far as I needed to go. So, and then I rigged my Scholey, Crescent Scholey kayak up where I could draft in like 7-8 inches of water and be going full speed, you know? So with the Rock Guard from Innovative Sportsman, if you didn't have the exact setup, you weren't getting up these fish. And in that, I mean, it'll go shallower than even the pedal drive would go. Cause you can't feather with a bunch of power. You know what I mean? So right. You can't get up these shallow riffles that, you know, you're still floating, you know, they're like 10 inches deep, something like that, maybe 8-7 at the minimum, but you got to get up those and on full speed and paddling at the same time and knowing how to, you know, read whitewater. I mean, this isn't whitewater, but reading water and currents, you know, when to ferry across to start taking that little shoot and when to go this way to, just to make it up to some of the fish. So it was definitely super, super way in advance. And I tell people, I said, this was my plan so far in advance that when Josh Strinko won the Bassmaster Kayak Series on the Susquehanna, I was so happy for him because he's my bud and we stayed together and I'm a great dude. But I literally said, in the back of my mind, I was a little bit like, oh, crap, dude. Like, he's going to go do the same thing I am at the championship if he fishes it. And obviously, you chose not to. So it kind of worked out for me. And who knows if you would have got it set up and planned that far in advance and done all that. I don't know. But
probably not.
Because you don't even have a motor, right? You just use the I-11 pedal drive.
Yeah.
So probably not. Yeah. That's been a huge investment for you to get that many batteries and get a Torquedo and get it set up and run.
I was definitely like in like November, December, I was like trying to think, okay, am I going to do this? And if I do, I have to get a motor. I knew because we were talking about, we had texted about like where the put-ins were going to be and how far up the river you're going to be. And when they finally announced it, like Steve was like, okay, here's, I think it was in January when they finally announced it. I was kind of like, well, literally that my only choice is to either get a motor set up and do it like that or just not go. And I just chose, I was like, I don't want to spend $4,000 or $5,000 doing this with like, you know, maybe, I mean, even if you're doing that, like there's no guarantee you would have won it, you know, it's like, or even cash a check, you go up there and, you know, skunk. So,
and just so you know, our Airbnb was 5 minutes from the ramp at the river. So everybody had to pass our house to go to that ramp. We were literally right by it. We were, you know, I got one right overlooking the whole lake, right by the river launch, you know, plus it happened to be the closest to Tahlequah, which is the host city. But I mean, there's no guarantee, but you're a good, really good smallmouth angler, especially in rivers too. So if anybody would have had a shot at finding them and figuring it out, I think you would have. But having said that, I had to watch Matt Ball and Jody Queen and Russ Snyders and Steve Baker, who stayed with us, you know, at the Susky and was in our house, and John Dalton and Brian Slayton, all other good river anglers, you know what I mean? All go and pre-fish there and drive right by. And I just had to just sit there and hope they didn't find and figure out what I found, because I was pre-fishing further upstream than I thought most people would get. So I would start there after I got 91 and a half inches on my first few hours of pre-fishing, like a half day. From that point on, I never was seen again at that ramp. I was actually never even seen at that ramp to begin with on that first day of practice, because I actually drove down a dirt road. Yeah, it's pre-fishing. You don't have to launch from the actual boat ramp, right? So at that boat ramp, you could, that whole access area, that public access area is some dirt roads and just kind of bank access and some put in off the side of the bank access and then an actual boat ramp. Well, I went down the dirt road upstream half mile as far as I could. It launched way up there and hid my truck, and then it went and caught them. And then when I got out, dude, I drove out of there and just was at the house. And the next day was rigging it up, and I got the Crescent Scholey to go 6.7 miles an hour with the Torquedo with proper. I used to go 6.2, but with weight distribution and like NASCAR pit crew, like adjustments and like continuing to work on it with the angle of the, and the height and everything. I just spent a whole like good half a day, man, like two, three hours out there doing everything I could. And I got it up to 6.7. So then it helped me. I knew I could get up, at least would help me get up some of that stuff a little easier, because it was going to be challenging. And then from that point on, I just went every, you know, the rest of that second day of practice and all the other days, I just went to different public access points further upstream where nobody else would see me. And I, at one point, obviously floated down to that about 3.5 miles up I went on the first day of practice to complete my entire like up, you know, journey. So I knew I could legally get up how far I could get. And I was able to get, I mean, all the way up 15 miles And at one point I'm fishing 15 miles upstream, which I would never get 15 miles, obviously. But at that point I was like, hey, I just want to learn how to catch the fish in the river because I've caught 91 and a half inches in that first day. I know they're between me and, you know, there's more of them between me and the access that we're allowed to use. And I know I'm going to start, you know, a few miles up from that access. So from there up to all the way, you know, 15 miles, which obviously I couldn't get that far. I was just practicing on how trying to pattern the fish, like where are they? So that when I fish during the tournament, I didn't want to burn my fish, you know, at all. So during the tournament, I just kind of had an idea of what they were doing. And it was still very challenging because smallmouth move like crazy, man. It's, you know, it is, man. Yeah. It's insane.
You can't burn out river smallmouth, dude. Those things might forget. It's like a 2 hour recharge for smallmouth, dude. No,
yeah,
I've had them eat after I've like broken them off before.
But you can only score a fish once, you know, even a 2 day tournament. And then what if other people, found those fish and got up there, right? They could like, between all of us, especially pre-fishing everything, I don't know how beat up they're getting and how, but if you want to see the biggest smallmouth, I got a clip of it right here. You can throw it up if you want. But
heck yeah, dude.
I got it on a big swim bait and I hit the GoPro right after she bit it on that log right up there to the right hand side.
The sunglasses, dude. The sunglasses are ridiculous.
They are. I was right. Smith Optics Pursuit. There goes my paddle, by the way. But it was a cluster, dude. I mean, I'm freaking out. This thing is giant. Look at it. It's like almost 6 pounds. She's going to jump here.
I love the self-conversation there.
Yeah. It's this Al Dangerous swim bait I picked up at Jim Houston's Outdoors the day before. I don't use that. So I just...
Dude, oh my gosh, dude. Look at that over the side of the boat.
I'll remove this from the studio. I'll bring some... Yeah, I just kind of... belly a man, and then I'll pull this other clip up and you can see that from the other angle. It's kind of entertaining to watch these catches here. That's kind of like the big fish I got on swim bait, the 21 and a quarter inch smallie. There it is there. And that helped me, you know, caught me up big time on the second day.
Got a big largemouth too.
I did. I got that video too. If you want to see, it's just a minute video. We can share.
I don't want to see.
You don't care.
Dude, we don't put those on Smalley Talk.
We'll just do the smallmouth. I got one other good one.
Is this the same fish?
Same fish. Yeah. You can see. Look at just. I might be able to pause it here. Oh god. Line through.
Little rainbow trout color there.
Pause it here.
That's a big boy.
Look at the lips. When they look like a carp, dude, when their lips look like a carp, I'm serious. You know, you've got something it was 21 and a quarter. I think pushing five and a half, six. What just happened? I mean, I don't know, but that's a bad, you know, GoPro. It doesn't make it look even as big as it was there.
Was that did you get a visual take on that? Was that like, did you see it hit the swim bait?
No, I actually threw it at that root ball that, you know, kind of was parallel on that log. And the first few cranks, she smashed it. And I didn't really actually get a visual on it. It was like my third cast with that bait. I'd never even like really thrown it, but it was a little bit cloudy. I mean, right there, you saw a little bit of sun, but it was mostly cloudy that day. So I knew big ones were in there and it was real clear water. So I said, either got to go real big or real finesse. You know, I was on that cloudy day. I was choosing to go real big. But
I'm all about going big, dude. I hate finesse unless I have.
You're like me. But then this right here was on day one with the Bluebirds guys, and I had to go finesse. So I threw the Z-Man Gobius. This is a pool I got all the way up to that I knew I saw some big ones down in the water. There's like 10 foot of visibility, and you can see down and see them. So I found them in pre-fishing, and I actually went on my last day of practice and caught them on straight braid, 8 pound test, you know, so it's light and it's pretty darn stealthy because it's just 8 pound. And that goby is it looks so much like a river darter. You and I may have before. It looks so good because you've caught good ones with it.
I throw the goby Z more than I do the gobius, but same difference.
Looks like a river darter. So anyway, I'll fast forward to this fish comes in, but I wanted to point out two things before I do. Like most people fight at smallmouth, this is a deep, slow pool. Most of this river is not like this at all. But when they're open water, you know, like any smallmouth, you can, you know, loosen your drag, spinning reel, let them, you know, you don't want your hook to get pulled. You don't want them to break off. Like, let them wear themselves out. And I'll hold my reel, the spool of my reel, a lot with my hand and adjust it. And if I see her going somewhere I don't want her to go, I just kind of cover the spool, you know, with your hand and don't let the drag and just pull back and don't let the drag do anything. So that's what I'm doing there. But the reason I want to share something is even the, you know, the best anglers make mistakes. And I made one here that I regret, even though it worked out, I should not have grabbed the line. You know, I hate grabbing the line. It never works. You know, it gets slack. It's not what you're supposed to do. You see Bassmaster guys do it all the time. Dude,
I see them do that. I was watching that Lake Fork tournament.
Yeah.
I was like, and Trey McKinney kept doing it. I was like,
yeah.
Dude, quit grabbing the line. You're going to lose these fish.
You will more than you won't. That's for sure. But I mean, if they're hooked a certain way, there's certain hooks and hook sets and where it gets, you're just never going to lose them. But if you want to be smart about it, don't do what I do here. Don't grab the line. But I did it because she was starting to run. I'll fast forward towards a log right there on that right hand side. You can see there's a little bit of
what you can do about point. That.
There's a log that's going, you can see it right now, kind of starting up here, a giant one. She's pulling. So I started to kind of freak out. She's trying to go under it right there. There, you can see it right there under the water. I got her just over it. You can see she's just over it. And then I just start grabbing the line, just freaking out. You know, just get in here, just get in here. And the gobias falls out right here.
Oh my God, the gobias just fell out.
Did you see it?
Yes, what's this? I saw it. Fell over your right side of your leg.
Oh my God, the gobias just fell out.
Yep.
Oh my God.
So, and I've got the front angle of that too, but you know, you guys saw enough of it.
How big was that one?
19 and a half. So, yeah, this is kind of funny right here. Listen to this. I'm an idiot.
19 and a half on the gobias. Let's go, gobias.
That's a Z-Man commercial, dude.
It should be. Yeah, Z-Man just used that. But I that was a huge cull because I had a 16 left on my stringer and pulling up, but most of my fish in the morning I was starting a largemouth slough, and I would catch good ones in there. Like obviously I caught some 19s and I caught that 22, the big bass in the tournament. And then I had to kind of scare myself the rest of the day and go chase smallmouth in the crystal clear water, which I loved. If it was crystal clear in 60, that'd have been one thing, you know. If it was crystal clear in like 55 and they still weren't, like, you know what I mean, like
quite, so the water temps were about 55.
Yeah. It, maybe it warmed up a little later, but like maybe that second day got a little warmer, but I mean, it was down as low as 52 or 53s in the morning. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I got a little scared that it's tough to catch smallmouth in clear water when you're predominantly a power fisherman like me, when it's clear and cold, and you want to power fish all the time like I do.
So did you feel like they were in more of like a pre-spawn, or were they still kind of winter focused?
I think it was like this. I mean, literally it was like this transition. I found a river gauge way upstream that was giving me water temps before the event. We got lucky with big warming trend.
Yeah.
And the water temp at that gauge at one point was at like 63 degrees. And then it got down to like low 50s because we had a cold front come in before the tournament, but wasn't like crazy bad, you know. And in our tournament days, it was kind of like the second day of the warming and then the third day of the warming. So we were on the second, third day of a warm trend during the tournament, and the second day was cloudy. But still warm. So it got up to like mid 50s. And so I think they were definitely not spawning, but I think they were transitioning from the winter holes to feeding up holes and just getting close. I don't even think they're really positioning to spawn yet. But the reason I say that is because that where I was going when I caught that big first one that we saw, the 21 and a quarter, I was actually going to a big pool like where you saw that second one, way upstream where I'd seen some giants in the water, like down there. I just saw them, but I couldn't catch them on day one. And on day two, I'm going to that pool and I was getting bit just with spinnerbait with some small spotted bass on the way up as I'm motoring real fast. So I said, well, maybe I should fish some more of this wood. And then the wood was mostly on this like swifter current that they weren't in practice. They weren't in there because the water, like I said, was cold. And that is my theory on why no one else ended up at that ramp for the river, except for me and Steve Baker on day one, because you're good anglers. Everyone I talked about that went and practiced the river, they went there on the worst two post-front worst days, the coldest and the worst like post-front condition days. And they just weren't on, you know, then. So they just, people got fooled. So this river stinks here. It's not much in it. And I knew, cause I got there early enough and fished on a good day, the very first day of practice, and got them pretty good, that they were there. And anyway, so I think that they were transitioning, and I actually threw at the log and caught that big one only because the water started dropping more and more because there was some rain, you know, a couple days before we got there, and it started dropping more and more. And my first day, several days of practice, it was like too swift and too high, moving too much for their metabolism at that low 50 degree water for them to be in it. But they were in those deeper pools, found them there. But then by the third day of the tournament, But like I said, I started throwing some more of the wood because the water levels had come down enough. And I'm looking at some of that wood that I had passed up on pre-fishing, or I fished it in pre-fishing and didn't get bit. And I was like, you know what? There's actually some like enough calmer water over there now. There wasn't there before. Like a few days before, it was like a foot higher. And it was like just the surface, everything was just moving. So I was like, let's just throw at it. I lost a 19 on a spinnerbait at Sling Blades from Z-Man. Jumped three times. I lost it. And that clued me in that I got to keep doing it. And that's when I picked up that big bait and threw it, because I said, well, until I get to that big pool, I'm going to fish this wood. And then hooked it.
Yeah, that can be some of the hardest. Like when they are like early, if you would have been like a week or two earlier when they're like
yeah,
really coming out of those winter holds, that can be super hard. That's like one of the most difficult times for me to fish. Once the water clicks 50, I feel like even if I'm not getting bit, I still am going to throw moving stuff just because you know that, you know, they may be in a neutral mood, but if you put one right in front of them, like they're at least going to check it out.
I agree.
The swim bait thing, dude, frustrates me because I just, this year I'm probably going to throw more swim baits than I ever had in the past 3 years. Dude, so many follows on those baits. It frustrates the crap out of me. So
it is, man. It is very frustrating. And the funny part of that story is really that I get up to where I think I'm going to smash, like, 100 inches. I'm going to call everything out and catch like 100 inches of smallmouth. I saw so many big ones. And I get up there, that pool where I saw them the day before, kind of found them. And I actually caught a big 19 something. It was 19 and a half, I think, or 3/4 in practice there at this pool. So I knew they were in there. And I didn't fish it again after I hooked that one in practice because there was a second one following it. And I got up there thinking I'm going to call everything I had out and catch like so many inches of smallmouth, and nothing. I got one thump on the big swim bait, 1 pound, and there was weight. And then all of a sudden there was nothing. So if I didn't stop and fish that log and actually work that other stuff, and what happens is the water temp gets warm enough. And at some point they say, because at some point, I think you realize this too, like they're obviously in the winter pools, and a pool could be 100 yards, 200 yards, or a mile. You know what I mean? And it's all separated by the riffle rapid section above and the riffle rapid below. And when it, until it gets up into the mid or upper 50s, they probably close to 60. They don't want to like actually go and take the,
no,
the
they stay
go up or down.
They
right?
still stick. They just go to the bottom or the top of those pools.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so this was interesting because they, I think some of these fish were, had finally moved down to some of the other stuff because the water was kind of getting warm enough. Like in the, like I said, probably like by that day, that time, it was in the upper 50s. And what's crazy is the next day I send John Dalton from Creek Fishing Adventures and Brian Slayton, the creek crawler. I said, well, you guys want to go have some fun, just catch some fish? Cause you know, they caught that decent tournament, but you know, didn't catch like any big smallmouth or anything, which is what they wanted to do. And they're content creators. Right. So I said, go here. And I sent them to a spot, and they were catching them in like, and it got warmer again. It's like the fourth day of the warming trend. They were now catching them in like a foot and 2 feet of water in those riffles in the stretch. So that's how quickly they moved from the big pool where I was seeing tons of, and then didn't get bit, you know, the next day there, into where I caught that fish. And then even up into some super skinny, shallow stuff the next day when those guys were there. It's crazy, man. Smallmouth moves so much. It's
pretty,
insane.
Pretty fun though, man. I mean, that would have been a fun tournament for sure. If you could get up there, I mean, kudos to you for thinking that through. I wasn't thinking that as like, oh, that's how it would win the tournament. It's more like, that's just what I like to do. And I'm not going to go fish that lake.
I knew that, dude.
Like, well, if you're fishing the river, you're going to have to get up there. Like, you're just not going to be able to just fish way down low. But it worked out to your advantage, though, that they had the boundary was further down. So you really didn't have to mix it up with a bunch of people. So,
no, that's cool. That's true.
I would have probably just drug through that. Are you even allowed to drag?
You're not. That's why you have to float in and float out. You got to actually be floating. You can't, if you go up and your boat, the hull of your boat hits the rocks and stuff or anything, then you have to like float back and try again. Like if that's the way the rules are written, it says if it,
hey bud, that's terrible.
It is what it is. And I just have to live by it and follow it. But that's where the Kayak Adventure series comes in. I mean, honestly, it's like, we allow, you know, something for everybody. If you want a portage and do that stuff. And
that's a good transition, man. That's a good transition into it, because, you know, Kayak Adventure series, we're going to call it KAS for short. But, you know, you don't really have any of those sort of rules in place where it's like you're more like leaning the opposite way of like, hey, use your kayak for what it excels at. You know, put in it these, like, as long as it's a public access, like,
right,
put in it these, like, rough put-ins, like, find these little corners of the boundaries that have this, you know, maybe a place that, hang on here. Sorry, I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, you're good.
Find a place that, you know, doesn't have that, you know, pressure and traffic. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I think, you know, you go, there's different theories for fishing tournaments, right? Some guys who grew up maybe around more of that like traditional bass boat tournament think like you all need to launch from one location and everybody, you know, which I think for a boat is different because you have a motor and you can go, you know, 50, 60 right. miles from the ramp if you want, you know?
Like, yeah, that's right.
But the, sorry, man. Oh, hang on.
I was just going to say today, I mean, the Elite Series is on the St. John's River and John Cox is driving like 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to a spot. I mean, you're right. You can go.
Yeah. Kayaks, you just can't do. I mean, you're limited. Yeah. Like, yeah, with an electric motor, you might go, you know, 10 miles or so, but you're not going to like, you're not going to go that far. You're all going to be fishing that like same water. And I think, you know, being able to use your vehicle as your motor, which is essentially what a kayak is, like, that's it, right? You put your kayak on, you know, I've seen your Tacoma go down dirt roads. I have a 4Runner, mm-hmm. kind of the same thing. Like, that's one reason I use that inflatable, because I can take it out. On the Susky, they eliminate those rules.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
do that.
You don't. Yeah, you don't have. That's why I like fishing those, because you can throw it on, you know, top of your car and drive down to a completely different part of the river and mm-hmm. like, you know, fish here, fish there. So I'm excited for that, just from that standpoint of like, it's going to be more flexible. It's going to be more in what I feel like kayak fishing should be, or at least what I enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
Kayak fishing doesn't necessarily have to be anything, you know, it's whatever you want it to be, you know, but there's a good portion of those guys that, you know, got into it because of that. And I think that's cool. So as it relates to, we obviously have, you have multiple stops. Is it a 6-stop tournament trail? Is that what we got?
Six. Yep. Yeah. Six. And, we got, put the graphic up. There's six. And if you want to compete for the angler of the year or the team of the year, the 2-man team of the year, you just need to fish 2 of the 5 regular season events and then the finale, which we call broodstock. That's it. I mean, it's not a big ask or a big, it's probably, everyone probably has one that's close to them. And it's that, okay, everyone's probably got, see, is that
on here?
Let's see. I wonder why is that showing? It's funny, my tab. Okay. There you go. Yeah, there it is.
No, I'm going to get get a better one here. This is not very good. Hang on, I'll find it and then I'll share it.
In the meantime, I'll talk about what I was saying. Like, so for you, just basically have to fish 2 of the 5 regular season events, because everyone will have one that's close to them, somewhat close to them. But some people maybe, you know, maybe not. Like, for example, Indiana or Ohio, I think where you live and where I live is actually the best if you want to be able to hit any of them, because, you know, the Pennsylvania event, the Susquehanna, you got, you know, it's not far away from here. And then you've got the Michigan event straight north of you guys, you know. You've got one in Wisconsin, which is over there, not too far away from you guys. And Poplar Bluff, Missouri is on the far east, southeast corner of Missouri. It's not far from Indiana. Like, again, so I'm just saying, if you're in the middle of the country, you've got the best chance to hit lots of.
That?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Lots of the events without a super long drive for any of them. So you can get to 2. But, and if you happen to have one that's right in your backyard, great. So if you have to drive, you know, 6 or 7 or 8, 10, 12 hours to the next one, that's fine. But you just have to fish 2 of the 5. And then your broodstock is right in the middle of the country in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So, you know, it should be fairly reachable for most people.
Yeah, man. So you have starting out Sholi Palooza, which, you know, I would love to go this year, just not in the cards, maybe next year. But May 3rd and 4th, that's a, mm-hmm. for any smallmouth guy, a Sholi should be on your bucket list if you haven't caught one. So, That's going to be a pretty cool thing to go do. That's, I think that's going to be a really neat thing for you guys, because really, you know, there's not really anybody else celebrating the Scholey Bass. So that's that's pretty cool that you're going to be doing that. Then you have, second one is Wild Whitehall. So that is the one that myself, and I'm not sure if Chris is going to be there, but we're mm-hmm. trying to get in there. I know Reed Morehouse, Dr. Mudbug's going to be there.
He'll be speaking there, yeah.
Yep. We'll have a live podcast, and we'll also have a Cheegan booth. We'll have some stuff for sale there. From there you go to the Ozarks, so Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Yep. Lots of cool rivers and streams are there. That was where the I don't know if it was in the exact area, but we had the very last river bassing tournament was somewhere around.
Yeah, in the around Ozarks. It's not the exact, but this area is cool. It'll have lakes and rivers. You know, speaking of the diversity of the kayak, you know, what's cool about the KS is you can fish lakes, you can fish rivers, you can fish with a motor, with all the electronics you want, all that, but you can still go simple, which, as I've proven, I don't use electronics for anything. And until they you know, made some rule changes, I never even had a motor. So now, with this format, you don't have to like spend thousands and thousands of dollars. You really can be simple. Cause maybe some people just at the stage of their life, like we've all been there, you know, just fresh out of high school or college or whatever, you don't have just all this disposable income to go buy a $10,000 or $15,000 setup. And you don't need that in this. And that's what's cool, is it's just kind of whatever your style is, you're allowed to do it here. You know, we want to celebrate everyone's different personalities and the diverse kayaks and styles that you can actually catch a bass, because we've proven they live in so many different, you know, deep, clear, you know, vegetation, rock, you know, muddy, you know, current, whatever. It's just everywhere. And you get to choose that. And the next one, is the Fiesta on the Susky up there, which that's going to be fun. Susky,
that's not on the main stem, correct?
Correct. It's on the North Branch. So you get to have even a little bit of water inbounds in New York. So both on the Chemung River and the North Branch. So it's that far up north in Pennsylvania on the North Branch in Towanda, Pennsylvania. And there's some really nice fish up there. It looks different and fishes different than the section around Harrisburg, you know, that we often fish with the other trails. But it's still got giants everywhere. It's super remote. It was named River of the Year for the 2023 in the state of Pennsylvania. So that's kind of taking in everything into account. And you're allowed to fish up all the tributaries as well. So that is going to be a very, very fun party, as you can see, the Fiesta on the Susky. And then the Wisconsin River Fest, that's next, September 6th and 7th. And by the way, the Fiesta on the Susky was August 9th and 10th, if anyone's listening on audio here. But September 6th and 7th, the Wisconsin River Fest. I don't know if you know much about it. Do you know much about that river? And there's Lake Wisconsin that's in bounds for that one too.
But oh, yeah. I've smashed fish on the Wisconsin River. In fact, I'm going to be up there in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So, yes.
No way. Are you going to be in that section around there, or is it like further up?
We're actually going to the Menominee River, which is the border of Wisconsin and Michigan. But it's like 2 hours west to go to the Wisconsin River. And that is going to be absolutely amazing.
It's going to be up good there
for sure.
That's the one that Christine Fisher said she was coming, and she's fished it, and she's like, that place is, she said this, dude, I don't know, she said it was better than the Susquehanna River. I mean, that's crazy to me. That's that statement. But
here's the thing about this, like, really, I would say any of those kind of northern rivers like that, even like up in Michigan, they just don't see the pressure that the Susky sees. So. Yeah. Like those fish are going to be a lot less pressured than the Susky fish. Yeah. You know, half of them you catch, their jaws are ripped apart. They've eaten 15 Whopper Ploppers. So, I mean, they have, like, they're clearly, you know, been caught a lot. Those fish in Wisconsin, they're like, you know,
just fresh.
What's this, a bass fisherman? What's that? Like, I'm used to guys catching walleye. So,
That's true, man. But that'll be fun. Sauk Prairie, Wisconsin, just north of Madison there. And then Broodstock, again, every one of these, like we've talked about, has great smallmouth in it, you know, after the Scholey Palooza, And Broodstock is the finale, and that's Bowling Green, Kentucky. And again, it same goes true here. Bowling Green's like, I think it's like 45 minutes probably from the border of Tennessee. It's pretty close. You know, Nashville's not far, like an hour and something away. So you can kind of get the sense and feel that, you know, a lot of this water is similar to that Tennessee kind of like good river, creek, lake kind of situation. We got a few lakes and mounds for that one, and all a bunch of rivers and creeks, Barren River. I think there's a Green River, and it's a bunch of creeks that have a lot of good floating miles of fishing. So I think that'll surprise people. And I think that somebody at some of these events, and it may not be with all smallmouth, but the format is pretty much it's a day and a half of fishing, Friday afternoon from 3 to 7, Saturday from typical, like, you know, sunrise time to 3 p.m. So you got a day and a half, and it's just a 5-fish limit. Somebody will get 100 inches, and it may not be all smallmouth, but somebody's going to hit 100 inches at some of these events, and we'll give them a century belt for it. It's going to be pretty cool. A cross kick century belt we're giving away, sponsored by Cross Kicks. That'll be cool, like a fake wrestling belt. And but I'm telling you, man, these fisheries, we got 6 bolts to fire on the very first year we put it together, and we're like, we're going to some of the coolest and best places you know, we could possibly go to. So it will be worth the trip. And if people trust us and they show up, which they are signing up big time for Sholipalooza, so hopefully that continues, then we will take you guys to some crazier and even better locations. I don't even know if even better, but as good, but maybe better, like next year. And because that schedule's already done as well. And so
it's already done.
Yeah, it's pretty epic, like, dang, where we're going, dude. It's literally like crazy the places we're gonna go. Cause I mean, dude, you only live once, you know, like these trips are some of the, you and I stayed together at the Susquehanna at that Bassmaster event where you won. And it's just, we just had a blast with all the guys. Dude, that's so what it's about. Fun.
I'm going back.
Yeah, we're going to stay again. The same thing. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. But that's the premise of this whole series is basically, like, if you think about it, it's so strategically thought out. Like, our opening ceremonies is Thursday. And then we have food trucks, music, and games, and hang out. And then maybe it's at a brewery or wherever it is at each event, which on the website, I can pull it up if you want, or it's up there on my screen. You know, it tells you where you're going to be for all this stuff. The whole itinerary is listed. But essentially, because we don't start until Friday at 3, and we have a seminar, it's called Bass U Brunch, a breakfast and seminar series, or brunch, whatever you want to call it, from 10 to 12:30. So because you can't pre-fish on Friday, and you can't get on the water until 2:30, because lines in is 3, there's no reason you shouldn't be out hanging out and having fun, as much fun as you want, without stress that, oh my God, I got to get rigged and get up at 4:30 in the morning. You know, no, you don't. Just relax, have fun, celebrate, develop those friendships and fellowship with everybody, and just have fun. And then go get recover at the Bass U breakfast the next day, Bass U brunch, right? If you want, it's optional. You can still drive around and shuttle and scout and whatever you want to do on Friday, or just recover and rig. But then go fish the afternoon session, and then next day, wake up, fish, and then come to the festival. When it's over, you return back to the city where we have our festival. And then all the vendors will be there, Toyota truck demos, like Kids Zone for families. You know, we got Kids Zone. We got just a lot of fun stuff happening. Kayak demos, if you want to test out a new kayak at most all the events. And then we go into these theaters for the awards, these historic theaters. And we give you guys a chance to be on a real cool stage, you know, a real stage with lighting, and everyone is in these cool, comfortable stadium seats. And it's just your GoPro footage or whatever, whether it's your cell phone, your GoPro, or whatever action camera you got, we'll throw it up if there's any good clips that you capture, or my crew happens to capture if we're following you, or, you know, with our cameras, or supporting your kayak with some of the GoPros. And we'll hopefully have this cool, entertaining, like, visual experience at the awards where, and it's going to take a lot of, like, nerves off of the people who come up on stage, because that's kind of nervous, you know. It's a nervous time. We're anglers. We're not used to, like, talking in public. But having your video behind you, like, if we showed those videos that I just showed you guys today, and we're just sitting there watching them together, and I'm on stage emceeing, and I get a chance to, like, talk with you about it, we get to just get back and laugh and watch whatever happens. It just lightens it up, makes it easy. So it's kind of cool to have that, like, concept happen, and the people can kind of watch and follow along. But more importantly, they'll be there because it's Saturday. Like, we'll all be there, because if it's a Sunday, we're all gone. Like, oh, we got to get back to work. You know, if you didn't cash a check, you're gone. So anyway, that's the concept. And then it's very strategic. So then when it's over, we have a designated after party location. And trust me, you don't want to miss Sholipalooza's after party location, because it's a secret speakeasy that's hidden in that town. It will blow you away when you walk in there. I promise you, it will blow you away. And actually, we're having the Bashu brunch there too, so some people might see it a little early. But that there's no reason to go home, like just hang out, party the night away again on Saturday, because Sunday's kind of for that recovery and driving home. And we have a side pot tournament you can fish on Sunday, or some ACA, American Canoe Association classes that Jeff Little, Russ, myself, Dustin Hoy, Wade Clements from Yak Attack, whoever is certified, will be teaching those classes on Sundays. So Sunday's kind of open to do whatever you want. If you want to go play golf with the guys, go do that. If you need to drive home, cool. We just figured it's easier for people to take off Friday off work than Monday. So why not start on that Friday afternoon, you know, and then I think it kind of works out for what we're trying to do, which is make sure people stay there and are there together to celebrate and just party and have fun. And of course,
yeah,
catch fish.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my wife and kids to the Wild Whitehall. So I think that'll be a cool thing for them to kind of be around. My wife can work the Cheegan booth while I go fish the tournament, you know, it'll all work out. So,
exactly.
But,
well, that's right.
Yeah. But I think there's going to be a lot of cool, I'm excited for them to just, you know, go with me and do some of the stuff and experience some of that. It'll be
fun.
So, yeah. I can tell, dude, it's been a long time coming. I first heard about this like a year ago, maybe even longer.
Maybe longer. Yeah. It was probably announced like a year and a half ago, but we wanted to start big with the Sholi Palooza. That's why we didn't start in like February or March or whatever. And it's taken some time, and we've got some cool new stuff to announce coming up soon. A press release will come out probably, I don't know when this podcast is launched, but there'll be a press release coming out soon with more information. But you guys can go to kayakadventureseries.com and check it out. That's the website if you want more information, and definitely just get signed up. The first 100 anglers get at least for this first Sholi Palooza event, the first 100 anglers are getting a gift bag worth $100 in sponsor's product. We might move that down to 50 people just to kind of encourage people to sign up quicker, because we made it 100 and people are just like still lollygagging because, oh, I got time. There's only 50 something people signed up. I'll wait until it starts getting, you know, 80, 90 before they're like, get scared. They're going to miss out on that $100, you know, gift bag from the sponsors. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see how the team division plays out. The micro bag, the five smallest bass, you can enter that. We honor the top youth. The top youth get the youth winner gets a kayak as well. The top lady anglers are celebrated on stage. There's a lot of other wild and crazy stuff. You guys can go check it all out, because we'd be here another hour if I talked about it all. But the bottom line, just come have fun. You know, that's all it's about. And if you see a big name on the board, like a Josh Shrinko or Russ Snyders or anybody that you're scared of, don't be, because this is definitely, you have a chance against anybody when it's just five fish over the course of a day and a half. If it was 10 fish or 15 fish, like the more days, the better the angler really, like, you know, that kind of rises to the top. You know, it's kind of like the PGA Tour. You see the top names or the Elite Series, right? After, but at the end of the first day, a lot of times you'll see a name you're not familiar with, and that could be you guys, you know, and as you're working your way up and learning about kayak tournaments and sort of in a beginner intermediate phase, show up to these events and you've got this fellowship time to rub elbows and maybe glean a little knowledge and information from a lot of these top anglers that you might see fishing these events. Again, it's not made to be some elite level of kayak fishing. It's a little bit more on emphasis on fun, but Jody Queen and your Russes and, you know, Robert Weicker and who, I mean, there's a lot of big names are going to be fishing the events, but that's something to be excited about, because you're going to get to hang out with them, see them, and they can only take one spot anyway. And I think you guys can learn a lot from those folks when you're hanging out with them, for sure. So don't be scared of it. Plus you get a chance to beat them. It's kind of like when Ike joins our tournaments, right? We get a chance to possibly say, oh, I beat Ike, you know, which is pretty cool actually. So
yeah. Yeah, I talked trash to him on Instagram after that tournament I won, by the way. He did not like it at all.
He didn't?
No. He thought it was funny, but he did not like it.
He may not know you well enough to like – I think I could talk trash to him now because I – you know, it's not like I'm
– I don't know him at all.
You don't know him at all. That's what I'm saying. You don't know him at all. So, like, he probably was like, who's this prick talking trash?
But if I was like, hey, you should come on the show. Are you going to let me come on Ike Live since I kicked your ass last weekend? That's the exact words that I said.
Oh my gosh. He might not have taken that like the way you probably, I knew you were actually saying it. He might not have, but What did he respond with? Like
he said, like, no. He goes, no. He's like, I'll let you come on my show next year after I wipe the floor with you or something. Like
there
that.
We go. So he kind of got it.
Yeah. Oh, he got it, but he's like, does. Who's this dude?
Yeah.
But funny. Yeah, that's for cool. sure. I would shoot my shot, dude. I was trying to get on Nike Live. So
I know, dude. I haven't even like it's. Dude, you know what I mean? I've won 9 times nationally in the last like probably 3 years, and like I fished 60 tournaments like ever, and like you know what I mean. I've won like 9 times and 2 AOIs with Hobie and Bassmaster, and I still haven't like been invited on any of those shows. And I'm like, what do you got to do to like ever get on or get respected by them? When it's like this isn't kayak fishing is not like something we. Oh, I can't wait till we get. Save up enough money to get a bass boat and we can go fish the bass boat tours. Like we choose this. Like, it's not like we're, you know, building up to that. Like this. So when everyone chooses this, there's a lot of the top anglers that could compete with a lot of guys. I'm not saying could obviously, but
yeah. And boat fishing's different though. I mean, I have a bass boat for a long time. I mean, it's different because you have a motor and you can go, you can go to certain places, and electronics play into it a lot more because you can have a lot more of that type of stuff on your boat. I have absolutely no doubt that there are probably a dozen guys that fish out of kayaks that could fish the Elite Series.
Yeah. Like there's for sure.
some really I would say good that's, guys.
I would say a dozen is for sure. Maybe even more, maybe even 20. I mean, or so, but then again, like, you know, are all those 20 in every tournament? Of course not. You know, you might have 5 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
But that are each one. And then, but everyone else that's down below there are probably like good enough to be almost, you know what I mean? Like be there or kind of like be in the opens, kind of mid level. They're not like everyone else, you know, sucks. I mean, everyone else is still learning.
Oh, there's some hammers for sure.
There are.
No, absolutely no doubt about it. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're fishing off a plastic boat. That's you're just gonna get that sort of viewpoint, you know.
Yeah,
people don't get it. I mean,
they don't get it.
To me, I just the bass boat world has gotten to the point where these guys have 6 figures wrapped up in their boats, and I'm like, I just that to me that's far away from what like fishing should be. It's starting to get like. Yeah. It's like almost like if you don't have the money, you can't compete. So I don't.
No, you can't.
I really like what you're doing because although kayak fishing is a kind of a microcosm of the fishing world, it is drifting more into that direction where it's like gear, cool setups, tech. And I don't necessarily think it's bad to have some of that stuff. I just don't like it. Like, it's just not my thing, you know, it's just not my
same here.
Yeah. I mean, river fishing is to me is like the best of lake fishing, but it's like all the time, you know. Exactly. it's like your pre-spawn, you know, all year round.
All the time.
Like, yeah, it's just to me I don't really care for what some of that has become, but I still watch it, you know. Still watching the St. John's today, and you know, there's some fun stuff going on there. But
I agree, I enjoy it. It's like, hey, this is all it's all helping the sport of bass fishing, and that's you know, it's you know, dirt track racing and you know, pavement racing or asphalt racing, and there's sand volleyball and hardcore. It's still needed. There's a place for it, and obviously we at the Kayak Adventure Series and the Bassmaster, Hobie, KBF, whatever you want to fish in kayak are providing this other outlet for anglers, and it's still great, and I love it all. But like you said, it just feels not like why I got into it. I'm wading creeks with my dad as a kid and have little canoes and small boats like that, little small John boat, and just going out and just fishing to be outside in the outdoors, didn't use fish finders and stuff like that. Just looking up at the, you know, just the bald eagles and the beavers and just kind of being outdoors and enjoying like God's creation. That was kind of what it was about. And all of a sudden, you know, it's about getting away from the screen. You know what I mean? Whether it was a TV when I was a kid, you know, getting outside.
100%.
Now it's about getting away from this, but then that just brings you right back to the opposite. Now you're just staring down at the screen. So I just don't like it. Cause I don't jive with it, you know, cause that's not the reason I got into fishing. So I'm not going to like change, just, you know.
Yeah,
but
I mean, if I grew up on, you know, a big clear water reservoir, maybe I would feel differently where it's like I have to fish for smallmouth in 50 foot of water, and you know, they're 7-8 pounds. Like, yeah, that'd be
probably
cool too, but that's not the way I grew up fishing. And I like I said, I think what you're doing with KS is really cool. I would encourage everyone that's listening to this to, if not sign up for Sholi Palooza, I will put this out in enough time, probably in the next couple of days, for people to actually go in and sign up.
Yep.
But I'm going to be at Michigan. Dr. Mudbug's going to be there. Drew's going to be there. I would highly encourage you to at least look forward to that. And then I think the other one, I'm going to try to get to the Wisconsin River Fest. I think that's one of them I have have earmarked. So
two good finishes. You might be in the AY hunt. You might have to go to Bowling Green on October 3rd and 4th.
Hey, Bowling Greens. I go. I do business in Bowling Green, so I might just do that.
Mixing business with pleasure. So by the way, you can sign up all the way to the opening ceremonies on Thursday, which is the 2nd of May. You can sign up all the way to that point. You may not get your $100 sponsor's gift bag, and you might have to pay, like, I can't remember what it was, $25 more or something, but you can sign up all the way up to that. We wanted to leave it like that just because some people don't know until the last minute if they can fish based on plans. And so we wanted to leave it open. So got plenty of time still to sign up. And I'm pretty sure we'll have half the field sign up in that week of right there. So
yeah, man, it's going to be really cool. I'm super impressed by your ability to put this together, and it's a lot of work, dude. I know
it is.
I planned one charity tournament last year and I about near killed me. So I can imagine
it's pretty exhausting.
Six of them between the sponsors and all cities, the like
tourism, the vendors, the insurance, the contract, like all these contracts, and geez Louise.
Yeah. Get out there and support Martin. Drew though. He's doing something cool. Wet Boy Nation, really want to see him show out and at least some guys out there that are, you know, kind of part of our brand, and we'll support you the best way we can. I think we're going to, at minimum do the Sholi Palooza shirt for you and have those down there.
Yep.
So those will be a Cheegan branded, and,
sweet.
Looking forward to it. Hope it's a great success. And, at minimum, I'll see you at the beginning of June.
Yep. Perfect, bud. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Take it easy, Drew.
See ya.
Say free the fighter. You got to get that before.
You got to free the fighter.
Right. Free the fighter.
No.